are listening to Told by Olay, a lifestyle perspective podcast. This is episode 28, Saying Yes to Yourself. This episode will explore what it means to say yes to yourself even when the world doesn't agree and you're faced with the hard question of yes or no, does it even make sense, all while managing feelings of fear and uncertainty. To help us explore this topic, I connected with Wasu. Wasu has a degree in political science and is currently working to become a digital marketing expert. Wasu is a wedding and portrait photographer based in New Jersey and has covered events across America and even internationally. Wasu is gifted in capturing the emotions of the moment in every photo he takes.
Welcome back to the podcast, Told by Olay fam. I missed you guys. I'm back today with a special guest. Wasu, please introduce yourself to the people and tell them about a time you went from feeling unseen to seen.
All right. How do I even start? Most people know me as Wasu. Others know me as Sue's View, my photography brand. I don't even know how to really describe myself. I am a photographer that's based in New Jersey who is trying to figure out how to navigate life just like any young adult in today's day and age. As far as your question, I don't even know how to start with that because... in a lot of different spaces, I've always felt that I was seen. Now, people may not have necessarily known who I was, but a lot of people knew me before I even knew them. So I think I'm going to reverse the question and talk about a time where I felt, when I went from seen to unseen.
okay, we're switching roles here.
Yeah. When I started high school, I went to Hillside High School my freshman year. Actually, let me take it further back. I went to Nigeria when I was like 10 years old, came back when I was 13. When I came back, I went to middle school in Newark. Then from Newark, went to ninth grade in Hillside. And then from Hillside, we moved from there to Union. And then in Union,
You've been on an adventure.
Right. I spent the last 3 years of my high school years there. And in Newark and in Hillside, I made a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. But when I got to Union, first of all, it was the first time I met white people like that. Because you're living in Newark and you go to a public school in Newark and you're living in Hillside and you go to a public school in Hillside. It's mostly African-Americans and Haitians. But in Union, it's like a very, very huge melting pot. Okay. So there's like Brazilians, Portuguese peoples, Hispanics, African-Americans, Haitians, like very rarely did you meet a Nigerian. Mm-hmm. So I didn't make any friends really until like towards the middle like slash end of my sophomore year, which was my first year there. And he was my friend throughout my high school. Mm-hmm. And his name was Charlie. He was a Hispanic kid. Who was born in, I think he said he was born in Spain. He was born in Spain, okay. But his father chose to name him Charlie as some sort of like, because his father's favorite comedian was Charlie Chaplin when he was growing up. And so we used to call him Chuck. Funny enough, he himself was a funny guy. Like because of him, I got into a lot of quote unquote white comedy. So like at the time, Dane Cook, and other white comedians at the time, we really like bonded over that, and that was the time that I really started to like stray away from like the gangster music I used to listen to and hip hop and stuff.
So you diversify your
palate. So, but because he was my only friend, and at the time, my high school was sort of divided, like so divided where we had a black cafeteria and a white cafeteria.
Really?
Yeah. Being that I didn't have any black friends, I sat with him in the white cafeteria, and it didn't really bother me as much, but over the course of time, obviously, you know, you're growing up, you want to experience a little bit more, so we sort of, like, parted ways a little bit, but we always found a way to come back, and but I haven't seen or spoken to him since high school, funny enough, so.
So that's when you went from feeling seen
to unseen.
Interesting. Yeah. Mr. Popular wasn't so popular at all. That's a very interesting story, actually. Yeah. To really think that, like, you kind of experienced that segregation.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I would love to get into that, but we're actually not talking about that today. But I'm sure that experience definitely plays a role in a little bit of who you are today.
Oh, a huge role.
See, look.
Yeah.
Everything that happens to you happens with reason, and it's not useless.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what it is to say yes to yourself when everyone else probably doesn't have the same vision as you, doesn't have the same perspective or understanding, and they pretty much are telling you, like, nah, that's the wrong idea. Don't do that. That's the wrong choice. That's the wrong avenue. So I want to first start off simply by asking you this question.
What's up?
What does saying yes to yourself mean to you?
I think, simply put, it's just a matter of having confidence in your belief, confidence and belief in what it is that you want to do, in spite of what everyone around you says. So I think that's the most basic way you can explain how to say, like, what saying yes to yourself means. So,
right.
Yeah.
So with that, what was the moment that you realized what you wanted for yourself wasn't what your family or your friends or anyone for that matter wanted for you?
All right. So, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a photographer, a wedding photographer, portrait photographer, whatever you want to call it, photographer.
He takes pictures.
I take pictures, yeah. Anyway, so when I first started that was, I want to say, midway through my college years. And just for a little bit of backstory, when I went to college, I started as an engineering major. I forgot what engineering, but I know it was engineering.
Wow.
And then I dropped it within like 2 months. I dropped it within like 2 months, switched to liberal arts. And while I was doing the liberal arts at a community college, I decided to switch to political science. And that was only because a lot of the people that at that time that I like surrounded myself with, they said, "Yo, Wasu, you're so well spoken, blah blah. You sound convincing. You know what I mean? And you know, you probably, because you know, you might finesse a little career in law."
Okay.
I was like, "Oh, okay, I guess that should work." So when I switched to a 4-year college, I decided to do political science. But then midway through that, I was like, "Man, this ain't really working the way I thought it would work." Mm-hmm. and at the same time was when I started to do photography.
Okay.
Now, photography didn't start out right away. Like, I actually started with just doing videos.
Oh.
And at the time when I was doing videos, I was using a Samsung Galaxy S4.
Oh, wow.
This is how far back. I wasn't using any, like, digital camera or anything like that.
It just started from the bottom.
Funny enough, when I first started in church. And when I was doing it, it was fun, you know, what I would do. The whole reasoning for it was not necessarily because I wanted to do videos.
Mm-hmm.
It was more or less because I wanted to have recordings of, like, the hymns and, like, the church songs being played on my phone at my own leisure. You know what I mean? Like,
I
don't have to necessarily be in church to listen to Christian,
Nigerian Christian music.
Which is hard to come across for anyone that's non-Nigerian. So what I would do is record videos, take those videos, upload them to YouTube, and from uploading them to YouTube, there's a lot of websites where you can convert videos to audio. Then you put them on your phone, and then I would just stream them, like, in my car or, like, through my headphones. And after, like, a year or so, I started to feel like, yo, this is a lot. Because imagine recording a service. At the time, I was attending a white garment church, CNS church, a spiritual church. We're not going to get into that. But, like, some of the worship services sometimes would be really, really long, that would take up a lot of space on my phone and my computer.
Mm-hmm.
I started to feel as though this was a lot of work. I was like, oh, man, I need to pivot into something a little bit more simpler. And then photography was what I decided to do. So when I decided to go into photography, I realized, hey, maybe this phone is not going to be good enough to take pictures. And then I went and made a purchase of my first camera. It was a Canon T3i, which at the time I think it cost me like $700 or $800.
Oh, wow.
All the money that I had in my account. And yeah, photography started from there.
Right. And so, first of all, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy how, like, one moment of just desiring to be a part of something outside of being there physically turned into this passion project that you actually took time and invested in.
Yeah.
And so how did you, when you decided to do photography, right?
Yeah.
What did your family say? What did your friends say?
All right. So the contrast, as in the difference between what my family said and what my friends said, was like pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
So my siblings were very supportive, and they've been supportive since. And my friends as well, they've been supportive. So, like, mm-hmm. That tells you the difference between the older generation and, like, our generation. The older generation, obviously my parents, they weren't supportive. They weren't harsh with their lack of support. They were just kind of, like, trying to nudge me in a different direction. And they've always, my parents have always thought that I would be, like, the president of the United States.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they have these.
There's still time yet.
There's a lot of time. Shoot, I could be 50 and decide to run for president.
Uh-huh.
But they always thought that I would be, like, you know, just in a completely different space, like a corporate America kind of space.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always, since I was young, I've always sort of been a fan of the arts. And photography coming about at that time,
mm-hmm.
They saw how invested I became in it very, very quickly, not just financially, but also emotionally, and just kind of like putting all my resources towards that, mm-hmm. time, money, all that stuff. So at first, it was a bit of a struggle to convince them, hey, you know, this is something I really, really enjoy doing, and I'm not just doing it for fun. It quickly went from doing it for fun to actually doing it for funds. and so once they realized, hey, man, this guy's he's using his talent to generate income for himself, and he's just, mm-hmm. doing this thing for himself.
Yeah.
They slowly but surely backed off,
okay.
and eventually became a little bit more supportive. So yeah, that's how my parents were converted from non-believers to believers.
That's funny. I mean, at least you got them to convert, because I mean, being Nigerian, you know, our parents come here with this idea of who they expect us to be.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, you know, your parents, they still have hope that you will become, mm-hmm. president of the United States. But, like, they don't come here with the idea that, like, my son is going to go into creative arts,
yeah.
and do photography. Like,
yeah.
I think I've shared my story with you guys about wanting to do fashion, and my mom called me a London tailor, and that was just, like, not an option. And, like, that was just not it. So here we are today. She has a surprise coming for her. I'm going to say that. One thing that I've noticed, though, like, when we have to say yes to ourselves, you begin to ask yourself a lot of questions, especially when you get backlash.
Yeah.
Am I making the right decision?
Yeah.
Is this a selfish choice?
Yeah.
What does the future look like if I take this step?
Yeah.
You know, my parents, they should know more than me. They're adults. I want to please them. I want to have their approval with what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, throughout that process, like, what are some of the things that you've thought about or that you went through while kind of trying to get over those emotional battles and those questions?
Well, obviously the first hurdle was convincing my parents, hey, this is something that I really, really feel passionate,
yeah.
about. And I found myself, like, quickly, I stopped saying this is what I wanted to do, and I just started to show them through action.
Mm.
And when they saw that I started getting bookings from not just domestic clients, like, mm-hmm. in Jersey, New York. It's 1 year I traveled to London just because of this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like 2 years after I'd started doing it. And so when they saw that I was very, very serious and committed to it, they decided, all right, you know what, go ahead. So that was like one of the first and early hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
All the other hurdles have been on a person-to-person basis.
Okay.
First of all, trying to understand people is a huge part of what I do.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, some people, not everyone's a model, right? not everyone's a model. And if, especially when you're dealing with a clientele that look like you, talk like you, and I'm speaking specifically about African-Americans, Nigerians,
mm-hmm.
or anyone that's black, sometimes you run into people that sort of don't value your work. As much as they say they do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it comes to putting money where their mouth is, it's one of the biggest challenges that I found. It's annoying. It's annoying. So handling that in a professional manner,
mm-hmm.
that even to this day sometimes can be a struggle. Outside of photography, I started to sort of like challenge myself to be a better people person.
Okay.
Like, as good as I thought I was, because in my church, I was a youth leader. You know, you're not anointed a youth leader if you don't know how to lead or if you don't know how to connect. And you know, people can see something in you, but unless you foster whatever it is that people see in you and what it is that you have in you, then there would be no growth. You know what I mean? Right. You just have talent, but no hard work, no effort. Right. So for me, I was like, all right, I have a gift that allows me to connect to people. Now I need to learn how to better connect to people, okay. Even the most challenging people. They want your services, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to get them to understand, like, I am more than just my service, right? Okay. I am also, this, like, Sue's View is me. I am Sue's View. Like, I'm not working for white America. This is me. So understanding how to work and deal with people and talk to people and connect to them, and then and the initial challenge was just working with, you know, getting my parents to understand that this is my passion and my dream. Mm-hmm. Those are two hurdles. And I guess the last hurdle, because you asked, if I ask myself questions, is this the right thing to do? When you're doing something that's like in the arts, and for instance, for me, I've been doing photography since 2014, April. So this April will be 6 years, right?
Wow.
Crazy how time flies. Yeah. Crazy how time flies. This April will be 6 years. And when I first started, I was younger. You know what I mean? I was like 23, 24 years old.
Yeah.
Now I'm 28, going on 29. And you start to ask yourself questions like, oh, is this the right career choice? Is this something that I really want to put my all into? Like, mm-hmm. especially if you're considering, you want to start a family. You know what I mean? You want to own multiple businesses, not just one business. Mm-hmm. You want to invest in yourself in a way that creates residual income for not just you, but generations to come.
Right.
So I decided to focus on my career. That's why I went back to school. went back to school, and I decided to, instead of just trying to do one lane, which is school, I think, I decided to try to open up myself to other opportunities. So mm-hmm. networking with people who are in fields that I found myself interested in, mm-hmm. and then also applying for internship opportunities, the co-op. If you want me to explain what the co-op is, I can do that later. but applying
Google
for
the co-op.
Yeah, Google co-op.
Yeah.
applying for internship opportunities and sort of like open up myself to be able to soak in more opportunities to just be better, better set for the future. That answered the question of, is this going to be enough? If you know your craft is not going to be enough, you want to set yourself up where you have multiple options moving forward. So
Definitely. Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of times, now I've seen a lot of people speaking out specifically to entrepreneurs and people who want to start small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Do not leave your job.
Yeah, please don't leave your job.
Don't leave your job.
Yes.
Unless you have the starting amount of money that you, the startup money, the startup cost. Mm. If you don't have the startup cost, please don't leave your job.
If you don't have
the support that you know you're going to need in the specific area that you're doing work or starting a small business, please don't leave your job. Like, there's so many things.
I'm going to speak to that second point.
Mm-hmm.
Do not leave unless you know you have the support that you need. Now, take, for instance, someone that has, like, 4,500 followers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most people that start businesses, they usually, on their personal page, they have a large following.
Yeah.
So they think that the conversion is going to be, I got 4,500 followers here. I'm going to have 3,000 followers at least on my business page.
Yeah.
When they start the business, they start up with like 100 followers or so. They feel very discouraged and they're just like, oh, man, this is not for me.
Yeah.
That is where I see a lot of people with great ideas fail. Like when they don't see that the people that they thought would support them don't support them, then they start to feel very, very discouraged very early, and before you know it, they're no longer functioning in that space.
Exactly.
Which sucks.
One thing that, like, as you're saying that, I'm like thinking, you know, one thing that I've realized is that the audience that you have on your personal accounts is not necessarily the audience that you're serving.
Thank you.
Look, when you want to say yes to yourself, you also have to understand yourself.
Yes.
Understand your mission.
Yes.
Understand your purpose. Understand your calling. Understand who you've been called to.
Right, right.
And so the people that follow you as your friend, as your family, mm-hmm. as someone who likes the pictures. Mm-hmm. You simply likes the pictures you post. They might not be interested in your small business to sell
pins.
They might not be interested in your small business to do motivational speaking. I can speak for myself. I know there's some people that I've grown up with. There's people that I've met in life. Mm-hmm. And have become friends with this. People who follow me simply because they like my pictures. Mm-hmm. They don't care about my podcast. They don't care that I work a 9-to-5. Yeah. They don't care. And that's fine. You don't have to care. There's a specific audience. I think in one of the previous podcast episodes, when we were doing Adventures to Calling, one of the guests said, you're called to a specific group.
Yeah.
Know who you're called to.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, like, when you first say yes to yourself, sometimes you don't even know, like, that you're called to a specific space, called to a specific group.
Exactly.
You just know that you're saying yes to a vision that you've received. You know that you're saying yes to something that you feel extremely passionate and empowered to do.
Yeah.
I think it's so important to understand those things in order for you to actually say yes to yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
So not necessarily being able to see each life that you will touch or being able to see how much you'll make at the end of it. But I think you also should be able to have perspective where you're writing down your goals.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're saying, okay, by the end of 2020, I want to make so amount of money.
Absolutely.
I want to encounter so amount
Absolutely.
Of people.
Absolutely.
And then you're taking action goals where you're stepping out and you're like, okay, I'm going to do free photo shoots, right? I'm sure you've definitely done free photo shoots.
Oh, a lot. A lot.
You probably worked with some people that you're like, never again.
Never again.
Never again.
A lot,
so with that being said, right?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, through my experience, and I think that you can agree with this, one thing I'm understanding is that when you're taking that leap of faith and you're saying yes to yourself and what you believe God has given you, the vision he's given to you to accomplish, it's going to come with a cost.
Absolutely.
Whether it be with sleepless nights, long work hours, or spending more time, more money than you're seeing in your return. Like that first time you spent the $700, $800 on the camera.
That was everything I had.
Everything you had. Right?
Yeah.
And so would you agree with me in saying that the saying yes to yourself and saying yes to the vision comes at a cost?
Yeah. Let's take a step away from like just our individual visions. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to school, it costs you. If you want to go to work, it costs you.
Yeah.
If you want to raise a family, it costs you. If you want anything you want to do in this life, it'll cost you. It may not necessarily reflect in your finance. It could just be in time. It could just be in just your mental, it's just your mental stability. Like there's so many things that as individuals we find ourselves spending on, right? Like, and like I said, it may not be financially, but we're spending something on something.
Yeah.
So when it comes to your vision or your any dream that people may have, you have to take that into consideration and sit down and ask yourself, am I ready for this? until you're able to answer that, and obviously, you may not be able to answer it right away. Some people may not know what the answer to that question is until some experience is accrued. Like until you get some experience and you're just like, okay, this is definitely not for me. But some people, I know, you ever just get a feeling from the jump? This is probably not for me, but they go ahead and do it anyway. Yeah. Like, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, bro. Like, I ain't tell you to do this, Joy.
Yeah.
Definitely, I would say that when it comes to anything that you want to do, especially when it's concerning your vision, because for a lot of us, our visions are like our children. Like this is something I'm giving birth to. That's the Holy Spirit deposited in you, but you're giving birth to it by expressing it, be it your podcast or be it photography. Like, so when you give birth to something, just think about it like you're a mother. Like, I want to see this thing flourish.
Yeah.
And when you don't see that thing flourish, you sort of start to lose sight of what the goal of it was. So that's why, like, from whenever you want to start something, you obviously definitely want to put into prayer, but you also want to be very, very sure about yourself. Like, hey, is this something I really want to do? And if so, how exactly am I going to go about doing it in a way that will allow me to stay encouraged regardless of what I see on the surface?
Yeah.
So
I mean, like, let's look at that, right?
Yeah.
How does one person know, like, this is something that I should do, that this is something that I should take a risk on and take an act of faith, right? And just follow, not blindly, but follow without knowing the fullest picture without knowing, like, tomorrow I'm guaranteed to make this back?
Well, I mean, part of taking a leap of faith is, you know, you don't know what you're getting yourself into, right? Like, it's like, what's the scripture that says, and I'm not good at quoting scripture, but I do it from time to time. Mm-hmm. Knock, right? Mm-hmm. And the door shall be opened unto you. Mm-hmm. Seek and you shall find.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of thing. But it never talks about what are we looking for? What are we looking for? Right? We're just knocking on doors. We're looking for something, but we don't know what we're looking for, right, or what we're expecting on the other side of that. And part of faith is you walking into a destiny that's for you. So you cannot, if you live life in a way that you're afraid of the result of certain things, you'll never accomplish anything because you'll never do anything.
Mm.
It's better to do and fail and learn from those experiences than it is to not do at all.
Yeah.
And just not learn anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So, and you never know, like, your failed experience could be the light onto someone else's path. Like, someone else that may want to do something that you tried in the past, may need your expertise, may need your advice. And of course, if they don't know how to go about doing something, they're gonna lean on you. And so for you, it's like, okay, I understand what it is you're trying to do. Don't do it this way, because I know for a fact, having been through it, this is going to be a failed experience. And then you try to navigate a different way for that person. So you should never be afraid. Like, that should never be the question before you go into trying to do something, because fear is crippling. Like, it's crippling.
Right?
Like,
but no matter what, when you have to take these leaps of faith, you're going to experience fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you conquer the fear of going into this unknown space of, you know, becoming a photographer? And also, as you began to grow and your faith began to expand, and your capacity, your reach, because a lot of people book you now. Mm-hmm. Like, you're even working with ZoomWorks now as well. And, you know, I mean, just for someone who started off simply with just, like, I wanted to record people singing, to now being where you are, like, how have you been able to conquer the fear, one, from the beginning, right, from the middle space to where you are today, to the fact that you are still going to be reaching more. And expanding further?
A lot of it is through, and this is going to sound funny, but through the prayers of the people that believed in the vision that I had.
Mm.
A lot of, like I said, when I started, I had a lot of support from our generation, like my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I feel that, oh, for instance, I took a bad picture, they look at my camera and they're like, Wasu, what are you talking about? what are you talking about? That shot is amazing. And they would always tell me that, hey, you know, I really hope that, like, just encouraging messages from time to time,
mm-hmm,
lets me know that they're obviously thinking positively or praying about my vision. Sometimes even more so than I am, because sometimes I could be in a funk.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that even when I fall short in my mind, it could be just the result of the way I'm looking at things,
right?
And like, pretty much sidestepping that thought and going ahead and doing whatever it is that I'm looking to do anyway, like, just having the confidence, like, hey, your worst could be the best to someone, right? That gave me comfort, because it's like, even on a bad day, I could produce something that could change the life of someone forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not necessarily have to do with the photography. The experience of working with me sometimes is, like, that's where I feel the most rewarded sometimes. Like, so now going into photo shoots or working with whomever, the only thing I think about is, how can I leave a lasting impression as a person before a photographer? Because I already know, like, technically I'm sound. Like, I know what I'm doing, right?
Right.
But if I'm so focused on just what it is that I'm doing and not really focused on how it is that I'm doing it, then that person is probably never going to work with me again, never going to recommend me to friends, and we're never going to build a relationship. A lot of my clients I have relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about that. allows me to, like, it propels me into the different spaces and allows me to conquer the fear. And you mentioned that I started working with ZoomWorks. ZoomWorks, shout out to Deji and the whole team. last November or so, sometime towards the end of last year. For those that don't know, ZoomWorks is, it's not just one person, but it's one person that started a company that now has a bunch of photographers located in the DMV. So he started to sort of spread up north because his brand started to really, really take over in the wedding business. And one day he just, like, fielded a question. He was like, hey, man, I need some photographers from up north. Who can I, whoever's interested, let me know. And before that, when ZoomWorks had started out up until, you know, that post, he and I sort of built a relationship via social media, where we would, like, kind of, like, have a conversation every now and then. I'd give him tips, he'd give me tips. And we sort of, like, watched each other from afar, like, admiration, like, and respect. So when he posted that, I was like, oh, man, I would definitely like to work with him. So as soon as I responded to him, he reached back immediately. And so we met up and we just started talking, and it was great, like, from the jump. Like, I didn't feel afraid to reach out to him, because what's that going to do for me, right?
Yeah.
And I think on another tier, this is something that I spoke to a client recently about. Someone, I did his family photos back in, like, September, October, and we were having a conversation about just, like, photo shoots, and I told him, like, it's crazy how far I've come, because sometimes I feel anxious. Like, I feel a little bit of anxiety when I'm working with new clients, especially those that I don't know before. You never know where, like, what people are doing in their private lives, or what, you know, what they think about you. So those thoughts sort of used to, like, dominate my mind. Like,
okay.
I used to be like, dang, man, this person probably hates me or something like that, and they're just using me just because I make great images. but I was, no, seriously, you never know. Like, I just... anxiety, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
that's true. Makes you think things that don't even make sense.
That don't make sense. So what I started to do was something that a friend of mine, she recommended a long time ago. She was like, you should start praying before every shoot.
Mm.
And before every shoot, anyone that knows me, before I do shoots, I, like, rant about any small, like, the client's late. Oh, my God, this is going to be horrible. Mm-hmm. Anything like that. After expressing that, because it's normal to express disappointment, right? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be afraid to express that. After doing that, then I go back to the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, just take control. Just like I did before the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, just take control. And I find that I'm at ease throughout the entire shoot. Sometimes I'll take pictures, and I'll forget I took those pictures.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I took that. No, I didn't.
When did that happen?
Yeah. And then just the response that I get usually always comes off favorable, especially when you let the Holy Spirit lead, and you know, those magical things happen, not magical, but amazing things happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I mean, so, like, would you say the Holy Spirit and having vision has carried you along through this path that you've been on so far?
Yeah, seriously. There's a lot of times where I'm like, yeah, I don't know when's the next client coming.
Mm.
And the minute I have that thought, I go to my email and it's like 15 inquiries, right?
Wow.
And I'm just like, anyone that follows my photography page, I don't post as much as I should.
Mm-hmm.
Every photographer that I'm friends with, they're like, yo, why don't you ever post, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, because I personally feel like Instagram is robbing anyone that's using it as a space to sort of grow their business. They're robbing them blind. And I refuse to.
Another conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I refuse to submit to that, and I refuse to become a quote unquote Instagram photographer. Like, I'm not. I don't do what I do for money. I don't do what I do for popularity.
Mm-hmm.
I do it because I love it, right? And I let my work speak for itself. So a lot of my clients, they come just based off of word of mouth because of the experience that they get when they work with me. Like, yo, he gets mad excited. Like, he gets mad excited and stuff like that. And he's just really, really fun to work with, fun to talk to, and different things like that. So, yeah, like, I don't even know where I started.
You are carried by your vision.
By the vision and the Holy Spirit. Like, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead has really paid dividends for me. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for you've been really sharing a lot of your journey with us.
It's a long 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years.
6 years.
I did have a question that came to my mind while you were speaking.
Yeah.
It's really for the people who as they're on this journey and they're on the path of just saying yes to themselves, or they have already said yes to themselves, what do you say to them when, you know, they hit roadblocks? Because you said there's moments where you don't know where the next client is coming from, which means you don't know when the next paycheck is coming, basically.
Yeah.
You don't know when you'll be, like, if you'll be able to pay your rent or your phone bill or
go to Chick-fil-A.
Shout out Chick-fil-A. So what do you say to that person who feels like, I said yes to myself, I took this leap of faith, and it's not working.
I mean, well, that answer is sort of twofold. The first one may not be popular. You probably should get a job. You probably should.
I mean, I'll let you continue.
Yeah.
And then I'll speak on that.
Okay. Because I personally, people don't know, but I'm working on a career, right? Mm-hmm. Photography will, like, eventually, maybe like 10, 15 years down the line, would be my sole bread and butter. But people have poured so much into me, I now have confidence in what I'm capable of doing. Like, just in my intelligence, whatever. Like, and I want to use that for something other than photography. So I'm parlaying that into a career. Mm-hmm. Now, most people that I know, actually, let me not even say people that I know. Most people that get into the arts, it's sort of like, it's super convenient. Right? You work on your own schedule. Like, the allure of the convenience of being your own boss is what gets people to be like, you know what? I'm just going to up and quit this 9-to-5 or this. And a lot of times that's just not smart.
Right.
It's just not smart. Yeah. So I would tell them, like, listen, you should probably pick back up where you left off, if you left school, or if you left your job, and go and pursue those things, because you can do both at the same time. You just have to be better with time management.
Yeah.
That's it.
Definitely. Which comes the cost.
Which comes to cost. Like, it may not be, like I said, that answer is not going to be popular, but it is the smart thing to do, especially if you're someone that's, if you live by yourself, you're not going to rely on inconsistent income, especially when your business is young, it's not booming. You want to be able to take care of what you need to take care of and still be able to go out every now and then. Like, I mentioned Chick-fil-A. That's not a joke, you know? You want to be able to go to Chick-fil-A, right? you want to have something that's, like, permanent or consistent, and then, use that to take care of yourself, obviously, but also use that to invest in your business, so that then at some point it can become your sole income. Now, the second thing that I use, second thing I tell myself to overcome those, like, challenges of not having business come in consistently, I just take a break. I take breaks. There's a lot of times where I stop focusing on whether or not there are clients coming in, checking my emails. Like, I just unplug. I'll just delete Instagram. I'll have my email still active for those that want to really inquire. But I'll delete Instagram, and I'll just sort of just spend time with my friends, spend time with my family, and spend time in God's presence.
Yeah.
I go to church. I watch sermons online, Bible study. I'm very, very active spiritually, so it occupies the time
That
I would spend worrying. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So in that sense, it's like, obviously it's still going to be in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. You know, when you're not getting money, it's tough. It's very, very tough. But it's better to rejoice in the moment where you're worrying, where you could be worrying, than it is to be worrying. And that just seems like it's just too easy. And for those of us that are young in faith, and young in age, this is an opportunity to learn how to deal with adversity, because God forbid you get into a relationship, or you get married, or you find yourself in whatever space that you find yourself in, and you need to unplug. You need to remember who it is that got you to that point, why you're there.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that in a space where you're just worried. So step away for a little bit. It's okay to step away for a little bit. Then get back to it when you're fully refreshed and fully re-energized.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I was going to argue your point a little bit. Not to argue it and say, like, get a job.
Yeah.
But, like, to just stretch it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm reading this book right now.
I'm listening.
And I'm reading T.D. Jakes Crushing.
Okay.
And it's really powerful, and he's such a great storyteller. Read it on your own. Check it out. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, like, you realize is that, one, in your 20s, not necessarily just your 20s, but in life, God is always going to, you're going to experience moments of crushing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to experience moments of pruning. You're going to experience moments that shake you up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily to make you sit back in yourself and go back to where you came from.
Yeah.
But it really is just for you to get stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
For you to become better and to push yourself and go and become wiser. Because the truth of the matter is that when everything's all good, you're not looking for God's face again.
Facts.
When everything's all fine and dandy and everything is lined up according to plan, like bill paid, money coming in, never have to worry about a dime. Number one, you might also get complacent in where you're at, and you're never striving for more.
Yeah.
And the thing is, God always wants us to strive for more. And I find it to be so important that, like, if it's not working, maybe you need to change your strategy. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to take a new approach. Maybe God is showing you that, like, you've been lazy, and that's why the business is not coming in. You haven't actually been diligent in what I assigned you to do, and that's why things are not shifting for you. So before you quickly run back to that safe place of the job, look at yourself. Check yourself real quick. And have real, you can ask, I know some people say, like, you can't question God, but this is not questioning him. This is having a conversation with your father. This is like, so what can I do? What have I not done? What should I do differently?
What am I doing wrong?
Show me myself the way you see me. You know what I mean? Like, I really want us to be able to look at that before we run back to that safe place of a job. Because that's a safe place.
It's
easy to run back to a safe place. And I'm not saying at no point should you ever go back to a job if you need to.
Yeah.
Because if you need to, you clearly need to, then you need to go do that. Go do that thing. Take care of your business.
Yeah.
But I did want to, like, just touch on that to make sure that people don't use that as a cop out.
Yeah.
Because we're so quick to use a cop out because we don't like to see, we don't like to wait on the big picture to reveal
itself.
To really
manifest itself.
We just like instantaneous, instant gratification.
Yeah.
We want everything to turn around quickly, and that's not how life works. Our friend here just told us 6 years in the making.
Yeah.
6 years for him to still turn around and say he wants to get a full-time job and start a career.
Yeah.
Like, life is funny that way. It's very, very funny that way, and I really appreciate all of your candidness and all of your honesty and your openness and just sharing your experience with us and I don't think a lot of people hear often that a photographer who's has a pretty decent career, I don't want to say great because you're still working on it.
Route to greatness.
Of course, we know that you are great. But to hear that you decided to go back and really look at yourself and say, wait a minute. I want also a sufficient career. I want residual income. I want to make sure that I can provide for my family down the line so that photography can become the full-time career 10 years down the line.
Yeah.
And that's what you call a big picture perspective. We talked about in setting goals that stick. Go listen to that if you haven't. It gets real out here.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. I don't care. Shameless plug.
Girl, you can plug yourself. That's
exactly.
Your podcast.
Exactly. Sue's view. So before we even, like, end this and wrap this up, I really want you to, number one, give us affirmation. And tell us what a lifestyle perspective means to you.
Okay. I will start first with the affirmation. And I hope these responses aren't, I hope they're not super long. so I think, one affirmation I usually tell myself is, I think it's a psalm from David, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I desire is to sit in the house of the Lord and gaze upon his majesty. I'm completely paraphrasing that, by the way. But it talks about how David, above all else, just wants to sit and look at God. Right? Just wants to sit and look at God. And to me, that is representative of peace and just, like, stillness, you know what I mean? And it's sort of like, it just sounds like the end of things, right? Like, the ultimate goal And before you can get to that point, there's work that has to be done. There's work that has to be done on yourself. And there's also work that has to be done with the people that you surround yourself with. And I always, one of my friends, Daniel, always says that people is ministry. Ministry is people. How you relate and connect to people reflects on your spiritual walk. So for me, remembering that verse is always affirmation for me. Like, okay, ultimately, the whole reason why I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing is because one day I just want to sit and look at God. Just look. As far as a lifestyle perspective, and I've been thinking about what is a lifestyle perspective ever since you first mentioned it on your first podcast. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was really? Like, yo, what is a lifestyle? It sounds like a complex. I mean, an answer, a question that deserves a complex answer, but it's not as complicated as.
Not at all.
Right. And then recently. Rest in peace to Kobe Bryant with the whole Mamba mentality. I've seen a lot of people sort of like carrying on that mantra. And for some people, it's like, in terms of the Mamba mentality, it's like work yourself so hard that you have no regrets in the result, right? Mm-hmm. But to put a twist on it, and I took this from someone that I follow on Twitter. His name is Nate Jones. He says that, it's okay to not work as hard as the next person appears to be working.
That's good. I felt it in my spirit.
Right? It's okay to not work as hard as the next person appears to be working. As so long as you have your sights set on whatever it is that the vision is, then whatever the result of your effort should be okay. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So the way I look at that is like, do not, and that calls to your mind like comparison, and just sort of like looking at what someone is doing compared to what you're doing, and just measuring your success or your failures against theirs. And you know, when you start doing that, you're losing sight of what it is that you're doing. So for me, I guess that, like, in terms of a definition of a lifestyle perspective, just simply focusing on how it is that you're doing. Why it is that you're doing what you're doing,
okay.
And remembering that in times when things are challenging.
Yeah.
That's, for me, that's a lifestyle perspective, so.
I like it a lot. No, really, I think that's a really great way to look at a lifestyle perspective, and I tell people all the time, a lifestyle perspective is really your perspective, it's your idea on life, on how you see we should experience and live life and just be. It's different for everyone, and it's really, when you look at it later, when you replay it, and when you hear yourself saying these things, you're probably going to be like, wow, this is actually the way I operate in life, in my everyday life.
Sure.
And, you know, take this, have the Mamba mentality, but also don't have this mentality where you are pushing yourself to be like the next person, because at the end of the day, you really don't know what the next person's story is, and even if they share it, you'll never be able to walk a day in their shoes.
Yeah.
And so I really just want to leave you guys with this. Wasu, thank you so much.
You're
is
welcome.
There anything else you want to drop for the people?
Last week on Thursday, I had a shoot with Oye. Shout out to Oye, another guy that I really, really like. That's my guy. I had a shoot with him. And before, like, the morning of, it was, like, 5 o'clock in the morning, and the Holy Spirit said something to me about just people and the way, I don't even know how to explain it. All right, this is, and I'm going to use basketball to sort of bring this point that I have home, right? There's a lot of people who have the same vision, right? They just sort of, like, express it in different ways. So, like, there's a plethora of photographers, right? There's a plethora of podcasters.
Yeah.
There's a plethora of Instagram
influencers.
Yeah. Thank you. Makeup artists, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you take it even further, there's a plethora of Christians, right? And you realize that everyone sort of has their own pocket. Like, everyone has their ministry and everyone has their pocket. So the kingdom itself is divided. People don't really realize that, but the kingdom is divided. Even though we do worship the same God and what we do is beautiful, it's sort of like if you look at a flyer for a program, You don't connect with it. Even though you're a Christian, you don't connect with it because you don't feel like that's your ministry. And there's like brand loyalty when it comes to that. That's a whole nother story.
Oh boy.
Anyway, so I truly believe that there are some people that are put on this earth who think that they're put on this earth to lead, but they are actually destined to help someone else lead, right? Someone else fulfill a similar goal, right? Mm-hmm. Now think about it like this. Jordan, right, before the championships, he was a phenomenal athlete, you know, dunk contest champion, scoring bunch points in bunches, doing crazy, amazing things that people had never seen before. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't fully accomplished until Scotty came along. Now, Scotty on his own, in his own right, you know, there were years where Jordan was retired, he still led the team to the playoffs. Scotty on his own was a great player. But the two of them together allowed Jordan to succeed in a way, and now he's revered 20-plus years later, championships. And I think there's a lot of Scottie Pippins, right? There's a lot of Scottie Pippin in terms of individuals,
okay.
And there's a lot of Scottie Pippin ministries. There's a lot of ministries. I mean, how is it that every summer or every year, let's think about year-round, there's a ton of Christian events, but at every event, there's the same familiar faces. Now, no one's really reaching the people that God has called us to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because we all have this sort of mindset like, oh, no, my ministry is going to bring in the people when it's you're only going to bring in your friends and the people that you already connected with. It's the saved saving the saved. So the whole reason why I mention that is like for some people, there has to be like as great as you are as a leader, you might be a better supporter than you are a leader. Like, you might be better at someone who is actually destined to lead. And I think also with ministries, as great as certain ministries are, you might be better suited if you were to join another ministry, like combine both ministries and sort of like expand the kingdom so that everyone's talking the same truth, everyone's talking the same message. So it's not like, if I go to this, I know what to expect here. If I go to that, I know what to expect there. If I go to that, I know what to expect there. Everything should be, everything should be combined.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, like, when the Holy Spirit was telling me that, he was just reminding me of the season that I'm in. Like, right now I'm in a season where, you know, I know what I could do on my own. But I know how it feels to accomplish things on my own. But it's so much more gratifying to help others accomplish things, right? And so that's why I find myself in service of others. I've always been in service of others my life, but now it's sort of like more intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I see what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and I know how I can fill in the gap. And I think a lot more people should do that. Like, you shouldn't be afraid, not even afraid, you shouldn't be too prideful to help someone out. That may, yeah. You never know. Everyone needs help.
Yes. I like that a lot. And I think that's a great way to, like, actually really end things off. Like, it's not just about saying yes to yourself sometimes, but it's also about saying yes to the people that are looking for your support.
Mm-hmm.
That may be your friend. That may be a family member. That may be somebody that you literally met at work.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
It may be someone, but, like, this life is not, it's not for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we come to that realization and we come to that place of understanding, like, maybe in this area I'm really just supposed to support someone.
Yes.
Or maybe in this, and then there's an area where you are meant to be the person that they're looking to.
For sure.
But I think it's important, again, that goes back to looking at yourself, really looking at yourself and understanding who you are and who you've been called to be and the purpose that you're meant to play and the role you're meant to play. And sometimes you can be playing the supporting role without even knowing that you're playing the supporting role because that's the role that you're supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're fulfilled regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even need for anybody to say, oh, go lead this or go lead that.
Yeah.
Like, you're good where you're at because you're fulfilled with where you're at and you know that that's where you've been called
to. For sure.
And so I definitely want us to think about that a little bit. We might have another conversation about that. We might have another conversation about that because I feel like that's a really big, big piece, especially when it comes to having conversations about calling and identity and purpose.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to walk away from this feeling like, oh my God, I have to leave. After listening to this, I got to be a leader. I got to lead. I got to lead. And you can lead by supporting.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And that goes
be the best supporter.
A very long way. Oh. I'm all about being a supporter for, I feel like I've said it in a previous episode, just simply supporting people vertically and horizontally. Like, it's not just about getting myself to the top. Mm-hmm. And that's really not my end goal. My end goal is really to empower and support people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really, really what it is. Yeah. And, yeah, I've talked too much now. I've said enough. Thank you again, Sue's View, for joining
you
us.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
You just heard Told by Olay, episode 28 with Wasu. Oof. Cha. Y'all, this episode was wow. Listen, I just hope that it opens your eyes and your mind to the possibility of taking a chance on yourself, taking a chance on the vision that God has placed on your heart and your mind. I hope it's left you understanding that purpose comes at a cost, but that return is so, so sweet. It may come with challenges, disappointment, and scary moments, but God's word, He tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but blessings come in the morning. My prayer is that the same will be true for you. Amen? Amen. That no matter how difficult or scary it may be, that you'll see the fruits of your labor. Here's what I want you to do as you continue on in your journey. I want you to understand who you are, understand where you are, and I want you to understand where you're headed, and never, ever lose sight of the vision. No matter what anyone else has to say, no matter what the world has to say, as long as you and God are on the same page, that's all that matters. That's it. That's all I have. And before I go, I really want to say a huge thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode and especially for tuning into the podcast consistently. Thank you for sticking around for 28 episodes. It may sound small, but it's a huge step. It's a huge milestone. I took a chance on myself and said yes. I took a chance on the vision that God gave me. I took a chance on what He poured into me and said yes. And it's gotten me to 28 episodes. I was afraid to even try the first one, but we're here today on episode 28. And there's so much more in store. And I'm so excited about this next season, not just on the podcast, but in life. This next season of life, I'm looking forward to what's next for not just me, but for what's next for you. And what we'll both be saying yes to. I hope you are too.
Thank you for tuning into Told by Olay, a lifestyle perspective podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe and check out previous episodes and share it with family, friends, colleagues, and anyone you think would also enjoy. Visit toadbyolay.com for more information about the podcast. And be sure to follow on Instagram @toadbyolay for updates and motivational content.